Scripture reading this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's read this portion of Scripture together, and the text is especially in verse 19. And the theme of the sermon will be giving everything over to our faithful Creator. 1 Peter chapter 4. Here we have God's word. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness and lusts, excess of wine, revelings and banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity, love, shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. So far the Scriptures. May God bless you as the reading of his word. It is something I often wondered about. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I'm talking about that last phrase in that final verse of 1 Peter chapter 4. Why does Peter there exhort for Christians in the midst of the challenges and sufferings in life, especially also as believers in this ungodly world, to commit the keeping of their souls to him, that is to God, in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator? That last phrase, as unto a faithful Creator, in some sense it almost seems out of place in the context. But the more you reflect on what Peter here says, the more meaningful and wonderful it becomes. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, what drew me to this text for this service now is especially the debate this past week between scientist and creationist Ken Ham and scientist and evolutionist Bill High. It was a debate much publicized and well worth watching. We can praise the Lord too that He gave strength and wisdom and boldness to Ken Ham, unashamedly and graciously to defend the truth of Scripture and to maintain in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. As one reviewer of the debate well summarized that debate, it is true as he put it, as it turns out, the reality and authority of divine revelation, more than any other issue, was what the debate was all about. The central issue was really not the age of the earth or the claims of modern science. The question was really not about the ark or sediment layers or fossils. It was about the central worldview clash of our times and of any time. The clash between the worldview of the self-declared reasonable man and the worldview of the sinner saved by grace. And now in the sermon, dear congregation, especially also now, dear children and young people, growing up in our secular world, bombarded with godless evolutionary mindset and philosophy of life on every front, in this sermon I want to show you from our text the further relevance of the whole Christian worldview. Yes, as opposed to that of the so-called, quote, reasonable man who will depend on himself and who will ignore and despise God's book of divine revelation to us and for us. The Christian worldview has not only divine basis, but it is so infinitely rich and meaningful and fruitful, as we shall notice, and it is by no means unreasonable. To the contrary, in fact. The theme of the sermon is giving everything over to our faithful Creator. Our focus will be on this last phrase, as unto a faithful Creator. And let us notice together that surely here we have not only a surprising description of God, but also a most wonderful description of God, and clearly a stimulating description of God. Peter's reference to God as faithful Creator here is rather surprising, richly wonderful, and really stimulating. That's what I hope to bring forward in this sermon now. How is it rather surprising? This description of God as faithful Creator God. Well, this chapter, as we read, is all about living in faithfulness to the Lord and His Word. And it's about being willing to suffer for His name's sake. Peter calls Christians in his time to give themselves diligently in humble service to the Lord, in line with God's Word, and to expect suffering for Jesus' sake in this world of sin and evil. The apostle emphasizes, doesn't he, in verse 1 already, ever to remember Jesus the Savior in all His sufferings, in His saving work on sinners' behalf, and to expect sufferings in this world as His followers. He writes in verse 16, as we read, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, nor alarmed, you might add, but let him glorify God on this behalf. What Peter says here, by the way, is so contrary to the health and wealth movement, which says, if you follow Jesus truly, you can expect to be rich and healthy and wealthy, yes, and successful in this world. And if it's not the case in your life, it's probably because there's something wrong in your Christian viewpoint or in your behavior in life. But notice how in this chapter, even in the last verse, Peter speaks of Christians suffering according to the will of God. The reality is, as many as who are true Christians, and many Christians also among us experience, there is suffering in this world, also for God's people. We can suffer the normal, sad consequences of sin in this fallen world, with sickness and tragedy. Christians do. On top of that, God's people often may suffer hardship and ridicule, and even persecution on various levels, when being committed, godly Christians. We read thus in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." In our text passage, 1 Peter 4, the apostle exhorts and encourages living actively holy lives. And while experiencing trials and sufferings, especially even as Christians, not to be discouraged, nor to be dismayed, but to remember the final judgment to come. Peter reminds his readers that God's judgment begins with us, who are Christians. And if it begins with us, he says in verse 17, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" With this, Peter is not saying, hardly shall God's people be saved. No, Peter knew, and experienced also for himself, God in Christ has made a perfect and sure way of salvation for sinners by grace through faith in Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer. But the apostle, he's saying here, in line with Jesus' own words and instruction, for instance, in Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14, the Christian life is all about entering the narrow gate and not traveling the broad way, but the narrow way, a way ridiculed by the world and that brings the opposition of the world upon us. The Christian life is challenging in this regard, to follow through to the end, to persevere to the last day. And which Christian today, also here among us, won't identify with this reality? Doesn't every true believer pray daily, "Lord, bless me and keep me, help me in your ways again in this world. Help me to persevere in the way of godliness to the end." Only as we humbly depend on the Lord can we persevere. Well, in this setting, then, Peter urges to remember also how the wicked and unbelieving will be judged eternally under the last judgment of God. And so to stay with Christ, he's saying, as he writes, "Stay with Christ and ever cling to him and for the whole of your salvation from beginning to end." Every healthy Christian will keep in view the last judgment day where God will judge. And there will be two places where people go. Either heaven or hell. And you see, here we come then to the last verse of the chapter. And to that last phrase. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:19, "Wherefore, in view of what I just all wrote to you about obedience and suffering and God's judgment to come, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." The word "commit" here is a term from the banking world. And it means to deposit for safekeeping. To deposit for safekeeping. We are to give over our lives and wholly to entrust, to deposit to the Lord our lives here and now and in death and with the judgment day to come. To give it all over to him. Let God take care of us in all things and with every matter and challenge we face, even as you and I in all things prayerfully aim to seek and serve him with our whole being, in all our ways, in every thought, word, and deed. But now in this setting and context, wouldn't you expect too that Peter would write, "Commit the keeping of your souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Savior of sinners, or a faithful covenant-keeping Lord, or as unto the almighty, gracious, glorious Redeemer of all his people, or unto Christ Jesus, the triumphant, exalted Savior of sinners, who makes all his own more than conquerors in and through him." Wouldn't something like that have made so much sense here? The chapter begins with pointing to Jesus, verse 1. And it focuses on being partakers of Christ's suffering, verse 13. And it urges us to live godly in humble Christian love and service before all others, quote, "that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever," verse 11. But then here at the end, Peter urges the Christians in his day to commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Don't you find that description here rather surprising? Peter is here urging for Christians, the suffering believers, ever to give themselves over to God, especially as faithful Creator. Why do you think he did so here? Why was he so led by the Holy Spirit? Well, here we turn to our second point, from going from the rather surprising description here of God to the richly wonderful description that this truly is. In focusing his readers to God as Creator God, what do you think was Peter's intention? Would it not have been to remind them of God's almighty power and wisdom and grandeur and purposefulness in the whole of creation, in all the minute details of it and the vast extent of it? To commit our souls to God as faithful Creator God is truly to hand our lives over into the best of keepers ever possible for us or not. What should we think of when considering God as faithful Creator God? Does not God, as Creator of all the universe and everything and everyone in it and belonging to it, shout out to us, as it were, "Our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do"? Does it not proclaim to us the insight and the oversight and the foresight? I first also had hindsight, but God doesn't have hindsight. He doesn't need it. His insight, his oversight, his foresight in this whole world, in all ages, with everything and everyone. When you think of the details of creation that God all thought of, and the vastness of his creative handiwork, it is simply astonishing and astounding beyond all expression to tell. The Creator is God's ability, just with a word, to create the whole universe, yes, and all the planets and stars as well, in galaxies far beyond us even. Don't you have to say clearly, nothing is too hard for the Lord. All things are possible with him. And notice Peter writes, urging, commit the keeping of your souls unto God as faithful Creator. Isn't God faithful? Ever? In maintaining his creation to the last day? Faithful in upholding the God-given laws of nature that we mostly always just take for granted? Faithful with the laws of gravity? Faithful with climate laws? Faithful with all the planets' orbits and rotation laws? Faithful with the seasons for the globe year after year? Faithful in taking care of the little beetles and watching over the birds and the flowers and the trees, and caring for oceans and whatever lives therein, caring for the creatures on the mountains, caring for the little creatures in the valleys, faithful over land and sky and sea, over whatever he has made, faithful, faithful in the whole cosmos, nothing excluded, everything included. Evolutionists like Bill Nye don't realize or refuse to accept the only reason they can study science and come to any well-grounded scientific conclusions about anything in this world of nature is because God is faithful Creator. This faithful Creator is not changing his laws of nature that he put in place from the beginning. And therefore we can have the legitimate and very profitable field of study called science. God as Creator, and especially as faithful Creator, is someone so infinitely and wonderfully reliable. Faithful means trustworthy. He's trustworthy. When you have on your resume being Creator, Creator of the universe, and faithful Creator even, there needs be no hesitation, wholly to depend on him, and always to depend on him. Furthermore, don't you think in describing God to whom we are to give over the whole direction and keeping of our lives, body and soul, don't you think in Peter highlighting how God is faithful creator. He's saying to us, be assured, dear Christians, as you suffer, God has a beautiful aim and a delightful purposefulness and a holy goal in all His works and ways. We are not living in a world of empty meaninglessness where all amounts to just circular nothingness. No, but God has a plan. And He had a plan. And He keeps to His plan. He won't rest till all His plans reach their climax, that He's guiding all things to by His almighty power and His blessed providence and His gracious, glorious design. I read this week from CNN News, 100 books you should surely try to read. One of them is From Big Bang to Black Hole. From Big Bang to Black Hole. From Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time. That's the world's view of time. From Big Bang, empty nothingness and meaninglessness, to Black Hole, endless meaninglessness. As Christians, however, we may give our lives over into the hand of the all-wise and good God who lives and works with holy purpose and gospel power and infinite wisdom in all His works and ways, and who gives us meaning. Oh, to trust a faithful Creator God and to entrust ourselves to Him day by day in all our life's pilgrimage gives so much meaning and sense and joy and reason and confidence, even when you may be going through great trials and difficult storms in your life here on earth. Don't be surprised with trials and suffering of all kinds here on earth. Sorrows and struggles, disappointments and stresses, burdens and hardships in this life. But be uplifted in giving yourselves over to our faithful Creator God. This richly wonderful description of God here is so rich, we could say. Also because, you know what? It doesn't just speak of God as creator, God of creation. But in speaking of the Lord as faithful creator God, we know, and Peter knew, he was referring also to the rest of the Trinity, especially also to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, part of God being faithful creator God is that when this world came under the fall of Adam and Eve into sin and came under the curse and judgment of God for sin, that very day and moment, God Himself also promised He would work to save His people from their sins and to redeem this world and universe from the curse of sin and the everlasting judgment of God. Yes, God pledged, didn't He, a Savior, even the day of man's fall. And that Savior we know is Jesus Christ the Lord. All things were created by God triune in the beginning. And the new creation is also brought about by the mercy and power of God triune in Christ Jesus. And all who trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord will by God's grace through faith in Him become joyful and eternal participants in the new creation and the new world order, which is God's ultimate plan. It'll be finally established when Christ returns again as triumphant King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the clouds of heaven. One day, who knows how soon now. So when Peter, at the end of chapter 4, in his last phrase, points to the faithful Creator as a true refuge for all God's people, it's not that he's bypassing Christ Jesus as our only hope and refuge in life, but Peter is bringing our hope in Christ all the way back to the reality of God as Creator God and as faithful Creator God in all of history. The reference here to God as faithful Creator God is not exclusive of Christ as only Savior, but the terms are, you might say, mutually inclusive of each other and not mutually exclusive of each other. All the universe was created by Him, Christ Jesus, Paul tells us in Colossians 1, and for Him. It is, in other words, this phrase, it's the most faith-promoting and confidence building and comfort giving expression. Give everything over to our Creator, our faithful Creator. It's meant to give us such trust and hope and joy and confidence in life. Also, when you go through trials, do you see this with me? How great this description really is here of God. The Holy Spirit is so wise and so good and kind here, helpful to us in giving this description of God in this setting in 1 Peter 4. Especially when you're suffering, you can sometimes wonder, what's going on? Everything's falling apart. But you give yourself over to your faithful Creator God. Do you not think He can make all things work out together for good? He surely can. And reflecting on it more, dear congregation, is it not something to take notice of more? How that often the believers in both the Old and New Testament gain so much strength in their faith and in their life as God's people in this ungodly world, ever remembering God as faithful Creator in all ages, from the past to the present and for the future. It helps explain why we begin also every Sunday service quoting from that happy testimony in Psalm 124, verse 8. You know what it says? Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The psalm begins with that phrase, Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, it would all be hopeless. But it goes on to say how we surely have a refuge looking to the Lord. Without Him, we would perish under the ways of sin, under the wages of sin, under the eternal wrath of God for sin. But our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The name of the Lord refers to the faithful covenant-keeping God, who is ever true to all His gospel promises. Yet to demonstrate the glory of that faithfulness and that power and goodness and wisdom of God for us, the psalmist has us focus on the Lord as the maker of heaven and earth. You see, the gospel is rooted in God's almighty and amazing creative handiwork. And the Lord's almighty creative handiwork as faithful Creator gives endless reasons always to trust and follow Him. Many psalms celebrate God as faithful Creator God in His tender care for all His creatures, and especially for man and for His people. Think of Peter too and the other disciples witnessing in the time that Jesus ministered, witnessing how Jesus as Savior God showed Himself as faithful Creator with the feeding of the multitudes, with the healing of the sick, with the calming of the sea, with the raising of the dead, and so much else as well. With the fall into sin and the world come under the curse of sin, the whole creation groans now, doesn't it? Because of the rebellion of Adam and Eve. But the Lord Jesus, as Almighty God of recreation, has come to save His people from their sins. And along with that, to deliver this world from under the curse of sin and to renew all things. The whole creation account also ever declares to us, doesn't it, that we were made as humans in God's image with the single aim and calling being always in thought, word, and deed to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Sin spoiled that all dreadfully and hopelessly as left to ourselves. Yes, but God sent His beloved Son to this world, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish with this sinful world, but be saved and receive the gift and promise of eternal life in the new world that God will bring about in the final day, even as this world of sin comes under His final and total destruction, under His righteous judgment. Oh, how encouraging this exhortation is of Peter. How richly wonderful to be instructed to commit the keeping of our souls to our faithful Creator. Peter, you couldn't have used a better term. The faithful Creator made all things good in the beginning, perfectly so. He made no mistakes in all His creative handiwork, from the smallest of His creatures to the biggest, from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the East to the West, whether on the land or the sea or the sky. All was perfect. All was beautiful. All was purposeful. All was wonderful. The Lord makes no mistakes. As faithful Creator God of all providence too, He makes no mistakes. And as faithful Creator God in His recreative work in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, He makes no mistakes. He has no hindsight. He doesn't need hindsight. He has only insight and perfect ways as a result. Every detail has been thought out of by the Lord so that He's able to save to the uttermost all that trust and follow Him, because with Him, a Savior is perfect, priceless, everlasting salvation for undeserving, guilty sinners. Whoever repents and believes on Him through Christ and His death and resurrection, there's fullness of life for sinners like us, eternal life. Trusting the faithful Creator God is trusting the greatest and best person and resource and help and refuge anyone can ever find. And it gives boundless comfort and confidence if you just think it through and whenever you reflect on it. How different those who don't believe in God and who would rather go through life and face death mindlessly, trusting in sheer luck and fate or their own human reasoning, or just the so-called laws of nature. Evolutionist Bill Nye would rather trust the apparent evolving abilities of modern man in their scientific pursuits for solving the great mysteries of this world, as to where we came from, as to what we're here for, as to where we're headed. But how hopeless and foolish this is, really. At one point in the debate, Ken Ham also asked Bill High this question. Bill stated how wonderful it is to make credible, observable, scientific discoveries and so to improve this world. But Ken asked, well, what's the use of it really, Bill? If life is only just evolving meaninglessly and ultimately into nothing, from nothing to nothing. Who cares what you discovered, really, after you died? And who will remember what good you have done? What's the use of any of it, really, if after a few years here on earth you die and you exist no more? Oh, as the book of Ecclesiastes so divinely and wisely tells us, all is vanity. Yes, endless meaninglessness. Except there's a God who created us, and a God who will judge us, a God to whom we're accountable. Except we belong to Him in true faith and seek to live to His praise and glory in all our ways. Why not rather listen to a book that God has given? Ken Ham said that there's a book written, Bill, that tells us the answers. There's a book given by God where the Lord gives the answers to these basic questions, which allow us a real and solid basis for true and profitable scientific investigation. Christ Jesus came into this world proving God as faithful Creator indeed, and offering Himself to us as faithful Creator also in all our ways and needs, even till our last breath and in every situation that you and I may face. If you and I want to find life, and that more abundantly, here and now, and the sure gift of eternal life hereafter in the new world to come, let us commit, let us give over the keeping and care of our souls and of our lives in well-doing always to the Lord, yes, as unto faithful Creator. The faithful Creator won't miss a single need or cry of sorrow or trouble or challenge in your life that you face. And He has endless resources to help in your needs and in your troubles and in your sorrows and your challenges day by day for as long as you live. The faithful Creator God, in and through Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior, has not only made this world in the beginning, but He has, according to His promise, come to redeem this world and to bring total deliverance from sin, Satan, death and hell to whoever has ears to hear. And through Him we can know, dear congregation, we can know that God is able to make all things work for good, to work all together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Whenever your challenge and your need, and we have suffering people in our congregation as well, if you put your hope and trust in the Lord, who is our faithful Creator God, is it not clear? You have surely found safe refuge and guaranteed help then, indeed, in all your circumstances and needs, for body and soul, in life and death, for now and in eternity. Do you see with me how this rather surprising description of God as faithful Creator here is indeed richly wonderful and really meaningful here? Something to be fed by and to be nourished by. Are you blessed with this description of God also now for yourself in your life as boy or girl or as teenager or as young adult or as older one? Whatever your present situation and need, Peter, the missionary fisherman, is urging us in our text, let it be so, and be sure that it is so also in your mind and heart and life. If the faithful Creator God is not your guide and guard in life, what's the alternative? Well, the only alternative is being led hopelessly and aimlessly and ultimately without any comfort for body and soul, in life and death, and for eternity. Ken Ham showed how all of society, even here and now, crumbles. And we see it in our times. When God is not recognized as Creator, and when God has refused to be acknowledged as Judge. And Scripture teaches, doesn't it, clearly, contrary to what many like to convince themselves of, including Bill High, that all unsaved people will not just die and be no more, but be cast into hell, to the place of everlasting conscious agony and punishment, justly brought on all for refusing to surrender to the Lord and rejecting His divine revelation about what is all important in life regarding our past, present, and future. Oh, that Bill High and so many others with him would come to faith and repentance in the one only true God, our faithful Creator God, and the only Savior of sinners as revealed in Christ. Don't think, anyone here, you can succeed in life proving God a liar and proving His word is false. Even all true science will one day confirm that what God says in His word is right. And whatever He teaches in there about nature and science is the absolute truth too. Indisputable. And this leads me yet to our third point, just briefly, about this description of God as faithful Creator. Is it not also a term really stimulating? Stimulating for God's people by God's grace. Since the faithful Creator God is there to supply us in all our needs and challenges, and since He takes notice of all we think, say, and do, shouldn't that so urge us and help us and encourage us wholly to live for God and for our neighbor's good for as long as we live? Since nothing is outside our faithful Creator God's view and oversight without any exception, in any case or situation, with anyone, anywhere, how that should stir us up ever to live to God's praise and glory and to do our best in all our responsibilities. And to seek to bring honor to His name in all our thoughts, words, and deeds. Notice here how Peter exhorts that we are to live in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. In well-doing. Committing everything time and again over to Him. In this regard, Bill Nye, I think I said hi a few times, Bill Nye, he seemed to say over and over in the debate with Ken Ham last Tuesday that believing in the Bible, Bill Nye said, and the God of the Bible, that's going to hurt scientific studies. It's going to hinder true discovering of this world. But shouldn't it, and doesn't it rather work the other way around? Those who live before God as faithful creator in well-doing, they will know it their care and responsibility as students to be diligent and faithful students and as scientists to do their work in the best academic and honest, faithful, resourceful, transparent, credible manner possible. As youth in school, when you learn your subjects and you write your papers and you do your scientific experiments, knowing God as faithful creator God should help you do your work to the best as possible and keep you from all sloppy and lazy, half-finished, unsubstantiated conclusions. Christians should be of all students most diligent. I didn't say most intelligent because God gives us what He gives us, but most diligent and most careful and most faithful in their work. Not only in school, but even at home, with whatever chores and tasks given to us, and at work, in church life, and society responsibilities. As Paul says in Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Having faith in Christ does not mean we skip careful, scientific, observable research before making conclusions. Sometimes people hide, it's true, they hide behind their religion, even the Christian faith, to somehow account for sloppiness and lack of diligence and faithfulness in our responsibilities. No, if you truly look to the Lord and give over to God your life as our faithful Creator God, that stimulates eagerness to learn and to discover new things and diligence in our responsibilities and faithfulness in our jobs, seeking to excel in all our ways to the glory of God and for the good of others. When you know and trust and follow God as our faithful Creator God, as explained, then that should help you be really faithful and reliable policeman or a housewife or a student or a salesman or an office clerk or a teacher or a lawyer or an electrician or a nurse or a preacher or elder or deacon or researcher or trucker or politician, or dishwasher, or security guard, or craftsman, or store clerk, or gardener, or caregiver, or retired person, or doctor, or patient, you name it. We are to live always that others may be mindful of our God as faithful Creator in and through our lives, and that our lives bear testimony to the only gospel of Jesus Christ, by whom we are made new creatures, and through whom the new creation will one day come about again by God's faithfulness and power. You know, in our day of so much denial of God as Creator God, let us be thankful for faithful witnesses of the truth of God's Word still. And with Ken Ham, let us too unashamedly and graciously and boldly testify to the unchanging truth of God's Word and God's laws in a world full of lies and deceit, even also in the scientific field often. Isn't our text so relevant in this regard, dear congregation? Living in well-doing means living in true love and devotion and praise to God in all our ways and in real love and care for our neighbors, as Peter also explains this in the whole chapter we read and in his whole two letters together. May thinking of God as faithful Creator and trusting Him so always really stimulate you and me to ever live to God faithfully. Praise to Him and for the good of others. And may it stimulate us in our sufferings, in our hardships, to trust God still. What a witness we become when going through hard times. Our faith is in God. And we have confidence and comfort even in the darkest of valleys and shadowy times. So let me close with reading the verse one more time. Wherefore, indeed, let them that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Amen.